on the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again. Go visit some expats and their friends. Drink some G&Ts. So, Stairs, we're doing something different. We're in the car. We're
on the road.
We are on the road and we're starting a new little part of Two Fat Expats.
Due to popular demand, you were right. I said we shouldn't do two episodes a week because right. I thought that it was overkill.
You did.
You put the message out there to our listeners.
Yes.
And everyone wants two episodes.
They do. But what we thought is maybe the second episode. We'll switch it up, yeah. So what we'd like to do is the episode that comes out on the Monday or Sunday night for some of you, Monday morning for most of you, that episode will still stay the same. Sarah and Kirsty under the stairs talking about expat topics and Instagram and podcasts, social media and podcasting, etc. But episode two in the middle of the week, which we're hoping will come out every Thursday, that will have an expat focus where we're going to go and interview someone. So
we had Diane Sawyer and Oprah Winfrey.
Can I be Oprah? Can I be Oprah?
You please? Be Oprah. I'll be Diane.
And so we are in the car as we speak. Sarah is driving.
Yeah.
I've got the laptop conveniently on my lap.
Flying past me.
There are people flying past you because we are in Doha and that's the only way to drive.
Yeah.
We are on our way to see Ali Longmate.
Yes.
I wanted to kick off this series with women who have really kind of switched it up. And
she's really switched it up.
She has.
Now, see, I don't know Ali personally, but she's very familiar to me. And when I showed her photo to my husband, he said, yes, they're the family that had, that were at the same pool that we used to go to when we first moved to Doha.
Ah.
So that's where she rings a bell for me. Yeah, so it'll be interesting. I've never actually had a conversation with her.
I met Ali a few years ago through a mutual friend. A mutual friend organised a girls' dinner and I met Ali there. Mm-hmm. And it was with a whole group of British people because Ali is English.
Yeah.
And I remember having a really quick chat with Ali and her saying that she was a lawyer, but she'd had a couple of children and moved to Doha. And just in the last sort of year or two, I have seen that Ali has completely revamped her career.
She's reinvented herself.
Yes, she has.
And am I turning left here?
You are turning left here. And she has become Ali Fit Club.
Yep.
And Ali is just popping up all over my Facebook page, mm-hmm. doing really remarkable things.
Yep.
And
I think she's got a column in one of the magazines.
She has here, a column in a magazine. I think she might even talk on the radio once a week. Just recently, she was here with Dame Kelly Holmes. And she just seems to be constantly talking kettlebells, boot camp, whatever.
Do you think she's going to make us do sit-ups or something?
I will die if we have to do any exercise. I mean,
I used to do a lot of kettlebell classes.
Did you? They scare the Jesus out of me.
It's quite fun, but well, I haven't done it in a long time.
I've had a few friends that I think I've got one dicky shoulder, and I think maybe
kettlebells
aren't great for shoulders. But yeah, boot camp I find very interesting that people wish to do it.
Not really our cup of tea, is it?
No. Well, I think when you've got a show called Two Fat Expats. but Ali is obviously not a fat expat.
No.
She's a very fit. She's a fit expat. And but I'm really interested.
But I think she's living a fat life.
She is living a fat life. Yeah. And I want to talk to Ali about how she chose to change and what sort of made her change. And
has she always been fit, or was there something that made her,
that was
a lifestyle change?
And also running a business in the Middle East, you know, on your own as a woman.
As a woman,
also really interested in. Mm-hmm. And, oh, look, a big truck's going past. If anyone thinks one of us just farted, no, that was the truck.
I'm stuck behind a huge truck here. I need to change lanes. I'm a bit worried his load is going to end up on us.
Is that? I don't know.
He's like a wide load.
He is.
Oh, he's gone into my lane.
And it's a fire barrier.
Right, I'm scooting along.
All right, we're past him now. Okay, so we're driving to the West Bay Lagoon. Mm-hmm. Have you heard what they call women that live in West Bay?
Is it West Bay Wendy's?
West Bay Wendy's.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Beverly Hills of Doha. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, it is. And we live a long way away.
We're in the Beverly Hillbillies of Doha.
So we've trekked from one side of town to the other to get here. But this is kind of the pretty side. And this is the side where the golf club is, for the ladies who golf.
Yes.
And it's where the lagoon is.
Yes.
For the ladies who run.
It's close to the Pearl.
It's close to the Pearl. For the fashionable ladies.
Yes. And Laguna Mall.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
So, and actually very close to a new city that is being built in Doha at the moment called Lusail.
Your husband has something to do
with that. Yeah. It's pretty much Matt's Lusail. No, he has a lot to do with building this city.
Right.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Okay.
So do you think I keep on going straight ahead or turn right?
No, I think you turn right. I think I'm better concentrate. I'm just going to stop this and we'll start again once we get to Ali's house.
Okay.
Okay, so now we've made it to...
We're here
in Ali's bedroom. Hello, Ali Longmate.
Hello,
how are you?
We haven't done any sit-ups or push-ups yet.
We haven't done one sit-up or push-up, but I'm waiting for Ali to go, everybody up!
There were about 20 kettlebells downstairs. Did you see them?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there was a gang of kettlebells.
Well, that's it. So, Ali, you have started a community, I guess, in Doha called Ali Fit Club.
Uh-huh.
And tell me, what is Ali Fit Club? Like, what I see all of your Facebook updates and what's going on, and I have lots of friends that I think hang out with you and jump up and down with you. But
it's only a matter of time before you join us. So don't fight it.
See, we could become the two fit expats, right?
Yes, we could do a rebrand. I feel a rebrand coming on for you guys.
So tell me about what you're doing here.
Okay, well, Ali Fit Club's really an evolution of fitness stuff.
Yeah.
So I started off doing fitness classes for groups of people and just really, really loved it. And I realised that it wasn't just about working out and getting fit, toning up, losing the baby weight. All of those things are really important. But what I really noticed was in Doha was that people were starting to make connections and make friends out of it. And it was just this whole different mix of people. Like, so, for example, some people in the evening classes... might be here without their families. Their families might live in their home countries, or they might just be here on their own. And that actually became quite an important social side. And
yeah,
so that's really cool. Yeah, it's really, really cool. And then equally in the morning classes, I noticed that a lot of people had like small children, and again made connections that, and it made me realise how I started off. It was important socially. It was what I did. So after I dropped the children off and at nursery when they were really little, I'd be desperate to go to an exercise class, and I'd see the same people all the time, and I'd be really looking forward to seeing them. And it became not just about, oh my goodness, I'm desperate to do 45 minutes of kettlebells. It's actually really nice. And so then I kind of evolved more from that. So then the Facebook page evolved and the community side of it evolved. And just to really get the message out that it's not just about looking like Barbie. It's not just about getting as skinny or fit as possible. It's about making exercise be a part of your life, realising that you can enjoy it, realising that you might even look forward to it. I promise you, I'll just stop fighting it. And then from there, it's just evolved a little bit more. So I've done more, podcasts and things like this. I've got my regular radio show on QBS, do a few bits and bobs for QF Radio, various magazines. I've got a few pieces coming up next month, literally everyone. So not just people that can afford to do personal training, not just people that can afford to come to the classes, absolutely anyone.
And have you always been fit? Has this been your whole life, or was there something that changed for you that got you right into fitness?
I've always been fit. So I was always into athletics and sport at school, and I've always been able to run and work out, do those kind of things. But I haven't always been like really, really into my fitness. There have been times when I haven't. So in my past life, when I lived in London, I was a corporate finance lawyer at one of the biggest law firms in the world. So one of the top three, they're called Magic Circle firms. So I was lucky. I had quite an academic path, did that, loved it. But the hours were ludicrous. So there were loads of great things about working there. It was really collegiate, really supportive. I learned an absolute shed load. It was brilliant. But On the downside, the hours took over my life completely. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just the long hours, it was the unpredictability. So you go to work in the morning, you'd never know what when your day was going to... And I mean, there were some days where there's nothing really... Like, everything suddenly went flat and you just sit there staring at your computer putting hand cream on all day. I mean, there were the troughs as well. In the peace of the work, you were expected to work until the job was done. There were beds in the office, there was a dentist in the office, there was a doctor's. You never really had to leave. I even had a little wardrobe. It was great. It was smart and it was sassy. For your early 20s, a great place to be. But the downside was the exercise really did take a back burner. Mm-hmm. So now I use that experience to say, well, that's a lot of my clients are in that position now. So I can stand it. I've stood in those shoes and said, well, I know why you drink too much coffee. I know why you're really tired. Mm-hmm. I know why you make bad food choices, because you're in a rush. You want to do this. And you think in your head, you think that once this deal is done, once this project's over, then I'm going to take care of myself.
Yeah. So, Ali, you're a lawyer in London. You moved here when your first child was how old?
Yeah, I came into Doha on a plane on my first wedding anniversary.
You're right.
With a 6-week-old baby.
Wow. Yeah.
8 years ago.
And were you thinking back then when you arrived, were you thinking, well, I'll sort everything out with this baby and then I'll work as a lawyer again? Or were you thinking, I'm just going to stay at home for a while? What was going on in your mind for what you thought your life in Doha was going to look like?
I thought my life in Doha... Well, as a family, we made a decision to take a few years out of the rat race and come to Doha.
Yeah.
It was a hectic year, as I've said. So that by anniversary one, we'd sold up in London. So we got married, we sold up everything in London. We had this baby with no idea what to do with it, which way around to hold it. None of our friends had babies. We were just like, oh, OK, we'll work it out. So we moved to Doha. I hadn't resigned from my job. I took maternity leave. The firm I worked for had an office in Dubai, so I was going to work remotely.
Right.
And I did that for 8 months. But to be honest, I'd really checked out of that lifestyle and that I really wanted to step aside for a few years and have a change. I never thought I would do fitness at that stage.
Yeah.
I thought fitness was just a part of my life that I wanted more of.
Yes. Right.
Just for you.
Yeah.
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 Just for... Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so what changed when you started thinking, oh, hang on, I might be able to make a business out of this. Like, I might be able to make a living doing this.
It was that evolution. So I started off working... So to be honest, this is all confessional now, isn't it?
Yeah.
They get some... what's going to happen? Okay, so when I had my first daughter, Millie... To be honest, life was so hectic. I was working from home. I had her. She was in and out of nursery. I was trying to juggle the emotional stress of moving countries, leaving my friends and families like we've all done as expats, and then diving straight into another job. And also the emotion of going from single, obviously being in a couple, but being single to married, to suddenly having this baby, to living in a different country. All of those things for me happened at the same time.
Yeah.
So I had quite a lot to deal with. So I didn't really work out for probably 8 or 9 months after I had Millie. And it was actually one of my friends, Louise, said, oh, are you going to go to the gym? And I was like, oh, yeah, I do quite like the gym. She's like, are you going to go quite soon? I was like, oh, sure, yeah. And then I suddenly realised that all this time had gone by. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And it was quite a kind of rude awakening. But she's a really nice person. She didn't mean it. And, well, I'm sure she did. But anyway, but then when Kate came along, I was already into my fitness. I swam all the time when I was pregnant with Kate. And that was really my saviour, because it was time I could just think to myself, get that time to my, you know, me time, de-stress, all of those things. I actually swam like 90 lengths, like 12 hours before she was born or something, and then got straight back into it as soon as I could. And to be honest, I can't imagine not exercising now. All through that pregnancy, I was much healthier. I didn't have any pain, didn't have any back pain. I was happy. She was born, everything was great. 6 weeks, as soon as I had my check, I was like back to swimming, back to working out. It just became such a big part of my life that as a family, we sat and said, well, you know, if it's going to be more than just a hobby, then give it a go. And if it makes you happy, let's give it, let's try. And to be honest, there's a big difference between working out religiously and standing up in front of people and working them out, changing the emphasis from thinking about your own workout and your own health and happiness to taken on the responsibility of the group.
Yeah.
But as it happened, I just loved it, and I just want to do. I just wanted to do more and more, and then. And then there it was.
Yeah. And does it change how you feel about leaving Die Hard too? Yeah. Like, has this become more of a permanent gig for you because you can see where a business could go?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I mean, as you can see, well, you two can see, everyone else can see.
Yeah.
we're surrounded by boxes. I've literally just moved into a new house these last few days. And so I literally haven't even got wardrobes up. I haven't got anything up. We're just sitting here surrounded by boxes. Yeah. So I've just signed up for another 2 years in this house. So that's my commitment.
Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah.
And do you think that, I know we've discussed this, that being able to start a business here was much easier for us in some ways, and it happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is our business is something that we couldn't have done back home because it's already been done.
And it's easier to kind of reinvent yourself something new. Would you have done this in the UK?
No, I think, well, for fitness, the kind of financial model is completely different in the UK. So, I don't think I would have done, to be honest. I think, I don't think I would. And the community is different and the kind of people I'd be serving would be different.
Yeah.
So, no, I think you're right what you just said there. So I think taking a sidestep here is worth it. You can take a punt on it. You can take a chance.
Women in particular take more risks here when they want to start something up that maybe they wouldn't do back home.
I hope that's true. I'm not sure that's my experience here, I hope that's true. And I think that there are a lot of people here, a lot of women in particular, have got loads and loads of talent and time and thought and could do more and probably should do more. And if I can say anything to them, it would be, go for it. I mean, really work out what you've got to lose. Yeah. Maybe you can boil it down into like even a sum of money and a sum of time that you could possibly lose as your downside, as your risk.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to people about it, talk to friends about it, get your family support. And I would say go for it. If you've had this burning ambition to try something, do it.
Yeah. I think it's very easy to get caught up in, oh, the school hours don't work for me for working because it's ridiculous, or that it takes me so long to get anywhere, or I have to go to three different shops to do shopping. Yeah. And all of those things are absolutely true. They are a pain in the bum. But I think all of those things can be worked around
if you're really passionate about
finding your thing.
Yeah, and especially if you're going to team. I mean, you could do it. I mean, I've done this thing on my own, but like you could team up like you guys have, and then you've got, not only have you got strengths, obviously, with you two, but you've got a whole extra resource then, and you can play around with the time.
Yeah.
And then you think about what the downsides that you haven't got. So if you took London as your example, where I'm from, you know, you can get, it is a pain to get around in the car here and it's hot, but you haven't got the driving rain, you haven't got the misery of the tube, you haven't got tube strikes and all of those other things. You've just got, nowhere's perfect. Nowhere's got the perfect blank canvas for you to work. So all you've really got to do is look at the positives of where you are and use them, and try and make the negative things as small as possible, obviously, but just grab life by the horns and just really go for it and work around the small issues.
Sometimes women, and we've done the video, well, you've done the video series, sometimes women feel like they've lost themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
When they move here, but I think this is a great place to reinvent yourself.
I think it's a good place to reinvent because I also think that when you're at home, there are a certain group of people that have known you forever that would say, oh, but Ali, you're a lawyer, you know, what are you doing going and doing something like that, you know, or, you know, that's not you, that's never been you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think when you get away, you suddenly think, well, maybe I would have a crack at that. I wouldn't have had the guts to tell people that that's what I really wanted to do, but maybe I would give it a crack.
I think you're right. I think you're right to use the word guts, actually. It does take a bit of guts. And if some people are listening to this and thinking, oh, well, I've always really fancied interior design, or really, really fancy being an artist, or whatever it happens to be, that maybe it's especially something more creative.
Yeah.
That people might, but you're not that creative, are you? Because you haven't always been that creative person. We don't know you as a creative person. Have the guts and do it. But also to touch on, you touched on this reinvention, and reinvention doesn't have to be a complete dismissal of everything you've done before.
Yes.
Everything you've done before, you can build on that, even if you have a complete change. So, for example, from a lawyer, well, so I was a lawyer, but it was more of a corporate lawyer job. So it was it was like big companies. The first client I ever worked for was Bank of England. The last client I worked for was Ministry of Defence. It was like big, big guys. We weren't just sitting there in some dusty. it was crazy hours, and it was dynamic and it was fun. But it was nothing like what I do now. But people often say it's such a big contrast, isn't it? And I don't think it is. I really don't think it is, because what I really take from my last life was having to run a brick wall as hard as I could to get stuff done, and just powering through until it was done. Yeah. And you just have to pull out all the stops. Never really know what's expected of you, and things change every day. And it's similar with fitness. If I work my socks off on this business.
Yes.
I love it. Mm. I'm writing about fitness. I'm planning the classes. I'm talking about it on this kind of thing, on the radio, whatever. I work those hours still, but this time it's different because I love it.
Yeah,
so you can still take that drive. Yeah. And you can still use things of what you've learned in your previous careers and apply it to a new one. And that is going to make you unique in that field.
One of the things you've done, Ali, is you really have embraced social media. Now, how have you done that? Where did you learn your kind of tips and tricks? Have you taught yourself that, or has someone sat you down and said, oh, this is how Facebook works?
Basically, it's just time and experiments and seeing what works, records, just being a complete geek over it, really, and just thinking, you don't have to take a physical note, but taking a mental note of what works. What people seem to like.
Yeah.
People seem to like pictures more than words, for example.
Yes.
People tend to like feeling good, motivational stuff. They don't want you to moan about, you know, it's just... So you've got to have a mixture of information, entertainment, and just, I guess, motivation for the fitness stuff. It's just trial and trying and trying and talking to people. And people don't like it, they'll let you know. They'll unlike your page. I don't know. What my thing with the Facebook page is, I just, again, try really hard. I like it and I enjoy it, so I just put as much out of there as possible. I'm not so hot on Twitter. I'm trying to learn that a bit more. I'm trying to get to grips with Instagram. Just putting out nice things all the time. Just trying to reach out for more people. So my goal is really, I'm not trying to be good at social media. I'm trying to talk to people
the
time to try and get them to like it. I think if you go at a business and think, oh, I'm going to do social media today and go for it, then you're going to fail it because there's no passion. But if you like the underlying thing and if you believe in it, and if I just want to have it on my team, so I really believe I'm right. I think that everyone needs to exercise more, whether you don't have to do classes, you don't have to go and join a gym, you don't have to spend money on it. You can just improve your life, improve your sleep, improve everything in your life by moving your body more.
Yes.
And I hope that that's what comes through when you read in my pictures or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So when I'm doing my little memes and I'm making them... writing my little things that I post out there, that's the thing that's going through my head, is move your body. I think you're gonna like it. I think your life will improve. It's improved my life. I've turned it around. You can do it too. And that's what comes through. I don't think it would really come through if I was trying to just build up a community of...
And I think it's really interesting because I actually think you're quite a private person, but you... If people didn't know you, and I mean, I'm just saying, am I right? Are you quite private
definitely.
In your guides? But you're out there, and I think that's the biggest mistake a lot of people think with social media. They see a lot of people on social media, and they think, oh, well, you have to be really outgoing and gregarious and whatever. But I don't think you do. I think half of it is you can have really passionate beliefs, and you're just... sharing them with people that you think believe the same
of your I don't think much of my I think much of for my stuff my passion for what I do hopefully shows, but I don't tend to put anything, I hope I don't put anything deeply personal on there, because I don't think people really care, because most people I'm talking to won't know me. They won't care that I'm moving house, by the way, and it's really stressful, but like most people won't care. Like most people won't care that my daughter's just done this fantastic picture using only a feet and hands, whatever. I think that's amazing, but my people on the Fit Club page won't care, so I think that's one tip I don't mind sharing, is please separate that. Please have a separate page for your personal stuff and your work stuff, because people will just stop reading your work stuff, because as sweet as you think your children are, someone's never met you and never met your children, they won't care that the tooth fairy's been. They just won't care. Please stop confusing it. And equally, if I'm friends with you, because I'm friends with you and because I like you, because I am interested in your children and the tooth fairy and all of those things, please don't sell me stuff on your personal page.
Yes.
I won't come to your... If you live in... a different country. I'd like to, please don't invite me to. I mean, I like it if I like it, but please just separate the two, because that's, it just clogs up and it just, you miss the point and it just gets boring. So that's my main tip. That's one thing I've always tried to set out to do.
Yeah.
So hang me. If you feel free to write in and dig through the pages. there we go. You've confused it. That's my big beef.
Okay, I think we're out of time. We've reached our 30 minutes. Thank you so much,
Thank you so much for our first
on the road.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to take you downstairs and I'm going to make sure that you both swing a couple of kettlebells.
And I'm going to high kick all the way to the car.
I'm going to run to the car.
Run away from the kettlebells.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye. My fingers keep on clicking to the beating of my heart. Hey, I can't stop my feet. Ebony and ivory and dancing in the street. Hey, it's 'cause of you. The world is in a crazy, hazy hue. My heart is beating like a jungle drum. But I don't go, don't go, don't, 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 don't. My heart is beating like a jungle drum. Toko 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 to